Hello.
And welcome to Epic People, a global community of researchers, creators, and innovators doing ethnography for impact in businesses and organizations. In this podcast series, we are focusing on reflections as we celebrate 20 years of ethnographic praxis, and as a lead up to our 20th conference in LA this August, we're looking back on our past themes, from sociality in 2005 to friction in 2023. Our conference themes from the past two decades have not lost relevance, but may well have evolved, shifted, and taken on new meanings. Epic People examines those shifts, featuring longtime and newer members of this vibrant and global community. Enjoy.
Welcome. We are here with Rick Robinson and Tony Salvador, stalwarts of our Epic community. In this episode of our reflection series, we're going to ask Rick and Tony to reflect on keynote talks that each gave at past Epics. So I'm going to introduce them both, and then we'll get into the conversation. Rick Robinson is an interdisciplinary social scientist by way of his training at the University of Chicago's Committee on Human Development, where he completed his PhD with Mihai Csikszentmihalyi in HD and Wendy Griswold in sociology. An early detour to do some short-term consulting on research methods at J. Doblin and Associates in Chicago led him to a 30-plus year collaboration with John Kane and the work they are best known for, founding the research firm eLab, which intersected with many of the folks involved in the founding of Epic. He retired after ending his industry career with a short stint at the University of Colorado in Boulder, where he tends his garden and makes interesting, and I'm making air quotes per his written bio, interesting pottery for his own amusement. Now, Rick gave the very first keynote of the very first Epic in Redmond, Washington in 2005. The theme that year was sociality, but Rick in his keynote laid out the framework for what has now become a 20-year Epic conversation. His keynote was actually entitled, "Let's Have a Conversation," and helped us think about where the conversation is happening, who it is with, and why the P for praxis in Epic matters. And we're going to talk much more about this soon. Tony Salvador is the executive director of the National Policy Consensus Center at Portland State University. NPCC provides mediation and facilitation services to help Oregonians solve big issues involving government, policy, and institutions through a collaborative governance platform. Prior to this, he worked in tech for 30 years, including introducing ethnographic practice to Intel. Now, Tony gave the opening keynote just a few years after Rick's at the Epic in Keystone in 2007. The theme that year was being heard, and Tony's keynote entitled Thoughts on Representation was filled with a sense of responsibility and urgency, as well as a fair amount of optimism about being heard in the places where we are privileged to do our work. Welcome, Rick and Tony. It is amazing to have you both for this episode of our Epic Podcast Reflection Series.
Same. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. It's nice to be here.
It seems really appropriate to start our conversation with Rick, seeing as how you started the conversation at Epic 2005. The high-level sections of your talk were examining what here is, and we'll talk about that more in a second, who else is in this conversation, and the role of theory in our work. So I'd love to start with, first, your reflections on 20 years later. What is here?
I think the one thing to remember is that when I was writing that talk, it was framed in the way that we were thinking about it back then, very first time. You know, just those of us who had been trying to figure out how we were going to do that. I was only supposed to be introducing the theory section. Basically, the idea was that there was going to be theory and then there was going to be, you know, application and practice. And we kind of wanted to differentiate ourselves from the other sorts of anthropologists doing practice in things like museum work. So we're trying to like develop some bona fides about, hey, we're actually still really connected to our roots as, you know, people with legitimate academic backgrounds and pretensions and desires. So I think that was part of it, was that I wanted to set that up as a like, all right, who are we, you know, in this place? And this place has to be where different kinds of people with different kinds of backgrounds are trying to work together, you know, trying to not just rely on some sort of received wisdom about what does it mean to be a researcher? What does it mean to be in industry versus in academic specialties? I think Ken and Tracy in particular, and Tony, we had all had experiences working in industry where it was like there was a lot of negotiating going on. And for me, I mean, it was knowing that I was supposed to be trying to get people to take theory seriously, partly was built out of my knowledge that sitting out in the audience that day was Lucy Such and Elizabeth Churchill. Oh my God, they're out there. And here I'm just like this guy who's not really an anthropologist, not really an ethnographer, and I've been going around watching people pump gas and order French fries. So there was a little bit of terror in that. I think what was interesting about the first epic was we were all people who had been trying to do this for a while and finally had just gotten the, you know, the resolve and the resources and made the space to go have a meeting and start to talk about what does it mean to go forward.
With who is having the conversation?
I don't know. In some ways, I'd hope not. That would imply that we had a narrow vision. I think a lot of us had a really broad idea. We wanted to welcome like brand people and designers and engineers and, you know, people who wrote code. I think we'd have to get into some probably contested territory about this mainstreaming question, which would be things about user-centered work and when are we just doing usability studies versus when are we really leveraging what's most valuable about ethnography? When are we doing ethnography and not just getting talking head interviews, you know? And what does that mean? And all of that stuff, I think, was what, honestly, starting EPIC was supposed to give us a forum to do. Dr. Salvador and I used to always talk about having like a free-for-all debate where we could really get the community engaged in a crazy-ass debate. And we never did it. And I think that's entirely Tony's fault.
You know, we had a thing that we did at Intel for a while called Extreme Debate. We tried to actually have discussions about things, and it was really hard to have people take opposing positions because their sort of intellectual reputation would be on the line. So we made it so that the polls of the debate were ridiculous, right? You know, the internet is the best thing ever in the history of the world. The internet is the worst thing ever in the history of the world. And they were hilarious. But the best part was in the middle when we have a conversation after, you know, five minutes and a couple of rebuttals, it opens up a space. And I think that that is something I would really be thrilled to see at EPIC again. It would get me to come to EPIC, in fact, right? Sort of like happily come to EPIC because there's like this, you know, these sort of raucous little debates that are kind of ridiculous on their face. But underneath that, there's all these really interesting issues that come up. You know, there was an example of that at the Savannah EPIC, I don't know which number it was, where there were these little events that the team had organized. And one of them was a drag review place. And about 70 people were able to go. And it was awesome. They did it for us. They did sort of a short set. And then the performers came back on stage in their street clothes. And 70 Epicureans were standing up, having a couple of beers, asking them questions. And their responses were hilarious. You know, that was a really good example, I think, of what you're talking about. Of like, everybody was together in one place. And they were having this kind of like crazy conversation, which was, again, on the face of it, ridiculous. And on the other side of it, actually pretty much exactly what we do, right? And just engaging in that place, but it was a unique space and it was different. Again, that's a reason for me, you know, to come to EPIC and to do those kinds of things where place matters in that moment, in that time.
How do you feel about how we're doing with the P in EPIC?
It was a reasonably solid emphasis for a long time to really think about what does it mean to have a meaningful result come out of the kind of work that we do and to be able to talk about that with our interlocutors, make sure that the people who we were studying were, as Tony likes to say, honorably represented and that our clients were challenged to do something that was responsible with the work that we did. But it didn't bother me ever as something where I felt like it was a premise or a promise of the early history of the organization that somehow fell off. I don't know if you guys feel differently.
It struck me when you were talking about the idea of mainstreaming is something to think about. Like as the community has grown, as we have become more and more relevant in different pockets of industry, how are we tending to our praxis? I don't know, Tony, what are you thinking?
I think that's what you just said, I think is part of the key. And I think it's part of where maybe Rick was going as well. Initially, when we first got together, there was sort of a sense of ethnographic praxis, right? Ethnographic praxis in industry. It was like, you know, maybe a thing. maybe we imagined, some of us, that it was a bit more monolithic than it was, but still there was sort of the sense of it's a thing. And I think over the years, what we've seen is that thing sort of devolved into a lot of little things or a lot of other things. And there's a lot of relevance for the kind of work and the kinds of people that Rick was talking about before with certain skill sets coming into the industry, into various industries, and having sort of a say and being able to bring a perspective to those companies. And I think that is, I think that's great. I think that's exactly the kind of thing Epic was designed to do. Maybe it wasn't the imagination we had, but I think it's the place where it needs to go. And I think now what we see is a little bit of the consternation with different kinds of actions that companies are taking, right? With the sort of maturation of a lot of the processes and ways we have of going about our work, the struggle to have that have impact on products, the alternative ways for products to be able to come to market, not always, you know, in a linear fashion. You might just like launch something and see how it works. Then, you know, sort of, oh, it didn't sell or whatever, right? And so there's different metrics for how things work. So I think that that conversation has broadened, right, to think about Rick's keynote. You know, if I think, and actually, if I have a comment on the theory part too, I think that there's a lot of it, in fact, on just, and it's been a little bit almost so common we might miss it. I mean, I'm thinking about the Stripe partners and their, you know, their monthly frames. If you're not on the mailing list, get on that mailing list because it's really useful. You know, it's introducing people to a variety of different theoretical perspectives, but not just the theoretical perspective, it's utility, right? And it's utility in a particular context. And that's kind of a thing that we do too. We don't necessarily look at a theory and sort of go, grand theory does this marvelous stuff, right? You know, we have to account for the whole lot of it. No, we can actually take a frame or a theoretical framework and use it for thinking. And that, I think that's actually really something that doesn't happen very often. Right. And, you know, to do that on a regular basis, to have it kind of almost be a little bit naturalized in our praxis and our practice, I think is a real marker of progress, right, for us. So I think that there is something really there. I think there's, you know, these questions about effectiveness and not effectiveness and under what conditions and what a company can do and not do and under what conditions will they do something or not do something. Those are all really important questions. And I think that those, the fact that those questions are being asked is testament to the impact that we're actually having, that the community is having as a whole, and trying to spread power a little bit, distribute power a little bit, and give customers or clients or users or whoever, people who are impacted by products and services, give them a little bit of a say, maybe more than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's not so concentrated in, you know, a person who needs to satisfy, you know, 10 million shareholders.
Thanks for listening. As everything with Epic, this series could not have been done without an amazing effort from volunteers and a small but mighty Epic team. Thanks go to the Epic People Reflections podcast team, Dustin Cascaden, Elizabeth Haywood, Evan Hanover, Marta Kachurian Zapan, and Martha Cotton. To learn more about Epic, attend the conference in LA from August 18th to the 21st, and to learn about other ways to be involved in our community, please go to 2024.epicpeople.org. Thanks.